Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Leona Abraham Brando, and I am the host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Today we have on with us Taylor Conley, an incarcerated individual whom, like others incarcerated, wants his voice to be heard. Taylor will be sharing with us today some of the many things that he has been doing behind the scenes that people in the free world and the media do not see, as there is no publicity in the positive things that many of the incarcerated population strive to do. Either the departments of corrections across the country prevent many prisoners from achieving, or they just don't make it public that an anonymous population of prisoners around the country are and have been productive while behind bars. Let's welcome Taylor Conley. Taylor, can you please tell us more about yourself, the reason for incarceration, how long you've been in, and how far you have come since being incarcerated?
Well, thank you, Leona, for having me on today. It's an honor.
It's an honor.
I appreciate what you're doing here. I'm incarcerated in Washington State, and I'm serving currently the life without parole sentence. This sentence came to me at an early age. I was arrested at the age of 20, and by the age of 22, I was sentenced to life without parole. It's hard to put into words and sum up who I am and what I've done. It's something that is not talked about very often in the other side of the coin of who these people are across America that are being locked away for the rest of their lives, many of which came to be at an early age. I was convicted to die in prison. Some of the things that I've done along the way, I've taught myself how to be an artist through many years, 13 years to be exact. On April 8th was the day that my 13th year was up. I've refined this craft through multimedia, such as drawing and painting and written art. Some of these things through art has transpired my life and shown me a different side, being able to look and see things, use my imagination and see the beauty in life and create something out of nothing. Just kind of like what I've done to where all odds are against me, yet I've been able to create something amazing, even in the worst of circumstances. Some other things that I've done with my time have included becoming a certified behavioral adjustment trainer instructor. Learning how to do this with Grisha Stewart, an amazing dog trainer, world renowned. She was able to come into the prison and teach us how to do her system of BAT training, behavioral adjustment training. And those who passed her training were able to become professionally certified, specializing in working with rescue dogs that are victims of abuse. So along my way, I took to doing school. I felt like I had the opportunity to do it, which a lot of people don't. And so therefore, I started doing that around 2012, 2011, somewhere around there. And that's when things really started to get into these ideas of actually doing something outside of the bars, filling my life with positive things. And eventually, I was able to grasp onto some ideas that I had and get those ideas moving. And with the art came into play. And I was able to create an actual business out of that together with my wife, somebody who's been there and supported me. And without that, nothing that I've done would be possible. I'm getting close to achieving a bachelor's degree in theology as well. It's something that I found God within the concrete walls and inside of these bars that has given me strength and courage to be able to get out and to be able to persevere in the face of all scrutiny, in the face of all things negative. I found that and I found happiness. And with that, I'm able to be the founder of Design Conviction. Design Conviction is a great thing. What we're doing is aiming to help those from within to reach out and get a voice. And it's amazing that you've had me here today and shed some light onto this subject. A lot of people want to drown out that subject and think that the men and women that are behind prison bars are just bad people. But that's not always the case. There is some genuinely good people, and change can occur. Through Design Conviction, we launched a record label, which just released our debut single, which I wrote, called Walk the Line. My good friend Caleb Twidwell sang this in the studio, and that's not all, though. We also are currently working on an album, The Free Taylor Project, which we originally together wrote and produced inside of prison. They had a music studio in there, which was later taken away. However, it could possibly be the last music album that was produced inside of prison. And then just recently remade and into a studio album. We finished recording the album, and later this summer, we hope to be able to release it. Design Conviction is about more than just music. We're about shining the light on the incarcerated and those people doing positive things, because there's a lot of us around the country and people that deserve another chance at life. We just recently sent out our first edition of Inside Design Conviction, the magazine. You can find that online. You can order the hard copies of it, but it's sent out to those inside who want to reach out. And we're going to follow that up with the Outside Design Conviction, the magazine, which will be sent out across the nation and be available worldwide online, displaying those people that are doing those positive things. I wrote
Taylor,
a book.
Can I ask you how old you were when you committed your offense?
When I got arrested, I was 20 years old.
Okay, because they're doing an awful lot now regarding people that have committed crimes from the mid-20s under and 25 and under. So that's why I was asking. And I also wanted to say you've done a lot. You've done an awful lot. And people do make mistakes. One of the things is when people come on this show, I want them to feel as relaxed as they can feel. Because we live in a very,
right,
very stressful country. People are judgmental. And we want everybody to know that everyone makes mistakes. There was a politician
Absolutely.
From Vermont that threw a newspaper reporter to the ground. And he could have killed that newspaper reporter. He was running for some kind of position, and it was the next day he was elected. Had it happened sooner, he probably wouldn't have been elected. But as he told the media, he was sorry for what he did. He made a mistake, and he couldn't take it back. And this is the situation with many, many, many prisoners throughout the country, including yourself. What you have done and what you are doing is honorable. And you have Design Conviction. It's on Facebook, and I have to thank you and Cecilia, your wife, for running that,
mm-hmm.
because, and if anybody wants to join that group, go to it, and you can tell them again what the name of it is. But you have done a lot, and
it's
really want to hear more, but I just had to say that much.
Conviction. Thank you so much. It's called Design Conviction, and it's on Facebook at Design Conviction. It's on Instagram at Design Conviction, and you can find us on our website at www.designconviction.com and follow us and see all the latest things that we're doing there. And if, as far as me as a person, I really appreciate you being able to look into the learning from mistakes, you know, and the man that I am today is not who I was as a kid. And you mentioned about the thing with the resentencing of young people, young juvenile adults that were in the mid-20s or under, and there has been a lot of progress made in the brain science development of that. Because as a person who went through so many things as a young person, such as I was placed in a behavioral modification program at the age of 15, where I was sent to Mexico, and I was in this place that was much worse than the prison that I'm in today. You know, there was physical abuse that was taking place there, mental abuse, and it was a horrible place. And the conditions were so horrible that they actually shut those places down. One of the places that I went to after that place in Mexico, which was called Casa by the Sea, was a place in Jamaica called Tranquility Bay. They were both part of the same type of behavioral modification program. And they shut those places down because they were so horrible. And that kind of had a huge impact on me. And when I returned after that, shortly after that, I was kicked out onto the streets at the age of 16. And by the age of 20, I ended up in prison or in jail, facing a life sentence and then ultimately charged with aggravated murder, which is the highest crime on the books. And I've maintained my innocence of that actual crime, even though I was found guilty of a trial in 2008. I was represented at trial by a court-appointed attorney. And then again, when I appealed, I also had a court-appointed attorney, and neither of which gave me an adequate defense. Currently, I am working on appeals still to this day. I have not gave up on that. And with that being said, I've heard of California actually reducing the or raising the bar, I guess, from 18 and under to 25 and under based on the brain science that the male adult, I think the male adult is 25 and under are what they have determined to be still in an adolescent state.
And California is doing an awful lot. They are, and I think a lot of states now are starting to follow through as well. They're not there yet, but there's a lot of states that are working on it right now and abolishing life without parole.
Right, right. Regardless of, I'm innocent of the crime of aggravated murder. I still feel so much remorse for all that has happened in my life and everything that I have done. Because the person that I was before I came to prison, I don't think was a great person. And I don't blame anybody else for putting myself into these situations that ultimately landed me here. But having said that, I also believe in redemption. And that people, especially young people who have been through a lot as a youth, deserve a chance for redemption. I've grown up a lot, and I've become a husband. And I'm a man today that I'm proud to be. And when I was a kid that came to prison, I didn't understand these things. You know, I went through a lot as a kid, and therefore I feel, and I used, you know, drugs and things like that. And all that stuff stunted my growth, and I'm not blaming anybody or anything that happened to me as justification for anything that I've ever done in my life. I'm just saying that I know that I've learned a lot, and I've came a long ways, and I have a lot to offer back to society. So if I were given another chance, I would only contribute to society and help others that were in the same situation that I was in or something similar, you know, and be an inspiration to those who could also have hope at a brighter future, you know, at redemption for themselves.
As a social worker myself for many years, and I did work with adolescents, I've worked with families and children, and I've worked with a lot of pediatric, geriatric, I've worked with families and children, I've worked with prisoners. I have to say one thing, and you mentioned it just a few minutes ago. You went through a lot as a child. A lot of those that are incarcerated, whether they be men or women, have gone through so, so much as children or even adolescents. They have come from single-parent homes. They have come from abusive homes. There are so many out there in society that have had everything. They came from prominent backgrounds with all that, everything that they wanted. They were spoiled. So there are a lot of people that cause crime. They cause people to offend. They are the stumbling blocks. And then, of course, you have those victims who are not stumbling blocks. They just got caught up in the traumas of their offenders. So these are the things that people have to look at. Unfortunately, again, we live in a country that is so judgmental, so quick to judge, so vengeful and retaliative. They want to retaliate against those who have done wrong. Recently, I don't know if you heard about it, Van Jones on CNN News started this redemption project, bringing the victims of crime and the perpetrators together so that they can face one another. These are the things that should be done. We should be able to accept that people do make mistakes. We should be able to accept that people in their 20s to their teens to their 20s, they have these problems. They come from these abusive situations. And they are, like you said, since you've been in prison, you have come to face yourself, face the idea of what you did. You are remorseful. You are being productive. And what you have gone through is going to be beneficial to young people out there that are contemplating suicide or contemplating homicide. We also have to look at this. You said you wanted to go to school for theology. If you notice in the Bible, Moses killed someone. David, yeah, not only impregnated his loyal soldier's wife, but he had him killed as well. The Apostle Paul, before becoming the Apostle Paul, Saul, ended up murdering many Christians. God forgave all of them, and he used them in a big way. So I understand what you're saying, and I hope to God that the audience will take this into consideration as well, that people do make mistakes, and when they try as hard as you have tried and do what you have done, and so many others who are not being noticed because the media will not go in. If the media would go into the prisons and meet with all of you individually, because they have on CNN and all these other places, they have these so-called experts that are quick to talk about how well they know these situations, getting into the mind of a prisoner. People need to go in and get into the mind of the prisoner themselves. Let the prisoner be the voice like you are being for so many on this show today. So again, I thank you for being on the show, and I'll let you continue.
Well, I thank you for having me, and those are some very strong and powerful words that you just expressed there. And you mentioned Van Jones and the show. I have heard of it. I heard of it.
You have 60 seconds remaining.
And I just got a minute here left on this call because it's going to be cut off. But I think that it sounds like a great project. I actually was involved in a program and completed a program called The Roots of Success, which is about sustainability and stuff. And Van Jones is actually on the board of membership of that class. So I really do appreciate all the things that he's doing in the criminal justice reform light. And I really appreciate
you have 30 seconds remaining.
Your time is running out, Taylor. So what I'm going to do is we will catch up on this when you come back next Saturday, same time. And everyone, again, his wife will be on the line with us to give more information about their Facebook page and the things that Taylor has done. And I was playing the song, if you could have heard it, but I will play it again, and hopefully it'll be on their Facebook page as well. Thank you once again, Taylor. It's been a pleasure having you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Thank you. He already left. Thank you so much for allowing him to express and talk about
his story. Cecilia, I was going to ask you, is the Walk the Line is the song that he has sung and written. I was wondering if it's on the Facebook page, if you have uploaded it to your Facebook page.
Yes, actually is. We shared the link of YouTube. So what I'm going to make sure is it's going to be there. Let me just repost it. So if anybody goes to visit our Facebook page right now, they will be able to listen it. So I can work on that.
Okay, and again, can you give the name of the Facebook page and also if there's a contact information, email, telephone number, website, anything like that, that they may contact you in the event they want to help in some way, if there's any way they can help. I encourage the audience as well to contact the media and try to get the media involved in going into the prisons and seeing some of the progress that's being made by the prisoners themselves, not the Department of Corrections, not the officials, but the people who have committed the crimes, who are trying to make up to society what they have taken from them.
Yes, yes, I agree with you. So our website is www.designconviction.com. Our Facebook page is Design Conviction, or Instagram is Design Conviction, with Design with ED in the end. You can reach us by email at designconviction@gmail.com or through the website. And I will, we will appreciate it, any feedback and any support, because we need more people to help us to make awareness of what we're doing. That is basically trying to give a platform for people like Taylor to reach out the free world.
Mm-hmm. And Cecilia, you are in Taylor is from California. So in California, as he mentioned, there are some things going on in California right now, and I understand that there's a lot being done with reducing sentences in prison reform. So again, it's a role model. It will be a role model for other states.
Sadly, Taylor is not from California. If not, he will be already part of this new law. We are from Washington State, and actually this year we had several bills being pushed to Congress, but they didn't make it, and it's because of lack of awareness. You mentioned what San John is doing, trying to break the gap between the victims and the incarcerated individuals. What happened here in Washington State is that there's a lack of awareness, and there's a lot of fear, and there is a lot of logic about punishment instead of rehabilitation. So hopefully next year, one of the big bills that we are pushing is going to become a law, but there's a lot of work still to do.
Okay. Actually, I just had retained a lawyer from the state of Washington, and I would advise you not to, if you ever do need a letter, not to contact her. She's not registered to practice in Washington State. It's very difficult finding what state she is in licensed in, if you need to have to file any kind of complaints against her. But I just want to make that clear, because in the state of Washington, there are scammers just like there are in other states. But some lawyers will take everything they can from you, and they won't do a thing. And this particular lawyer did just that. But what I was going to say is, in California, there's a lot of advocates in California, and there's a lot of prisons. We've worked with Cochran and Bakerville. We've worked with a lot of Susanville and a lot of those others in the California area. But my understanding is that there are things being done in the state of California and Pennsylvania. Massachusetts is slow to come, and there's other states that are working on these issues. The problem is the public. The media speaks so much of the violence that's going on across the country and the world. People, I believe, get confused. When they hear of all this violence, I think they get confused between what's going on in other parts of the world and what's going on in this country. And so their fear is extended. It's explosive. And so they are not for releasing prisoners at all. And we have a situation in this country where prisons are full, mass incarceration. And those who have served any kind of time, lengthy time, should have that opportunity to be free and bring in the ones that have recently committed crimes or committing crimes today and let them serve their portion of the time. But life without parole is not the answer to anything. And with what you and your husband are doing, and it's a lot, you're showing that second chances are deserving in many situations. They just need to be exposed, the good that they're doing. The media needs to go in. The media needs to start looking at these things. The media needs to demand entrance into the prisons, not only to oversee what's going on, but also to see the progress that prisoners are making or trying to make on their own.
Yes, yes, I agree. I definitely agree. We need the media to make more awareness. We need the people to be more aware and to stop being judgmental, to actually see the person, not the crime, to see that the life without parole doesn't make sense, because it's just another life waste. So it just doesn't make sense. And as you mentioned, God, if you read the Bible, God forgives and gives second chances. So why shouldn't we do that same?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
This is a scripture in the Bible in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. And it says, anyone that says they love God, whom they cannot see, and yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. And so many Christians throughout the world today, if they would look at that scripture and they would meditate on it, and they would know that they are worshiping someone that they cannot see. They don't know if that person is, they don't know what that person or that being is. We know that God is the answer to everything because we have to put our faith and trust in Him. He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people in the world today that don't believe in God because they have lost that faith because of all the evil that's out there, because of all the pain and sorrow and suffering that many of them have gone through. So people, everyone needs to look at these things. They need to consider themselves. It could happen to anyone. Mistakes can happen. Sometimes the psychological effects that they have been exposed to themselves, they could be in the wrong frame of mind. You know, they could be in a situation where they're with the wrong peers. You know, they have to consider these things. The media has to also. They will dwell on things. People in other countries go through wars. They lose loved ones. There's so much going on in other countries. They report it, and then they move on. In this country, it goes on and on and on. You hear it for days and months and even years, the same thing. And they need to realize there's so much in this world today, there's so much news to report. They don't need to stay focused on one. And by them staying focused on one, it's keeping the minds of the media, the minds of the people in the communities set to push harsher crime or put more pain on people. But anyway, this is what's out there, and we need to, and I say you and your husband are doing an excellent job in bringing this, all of this to awareness and the work that he's doing, the work that you're doing with him and standing by him.
Yeah. Yes. It is very curious that you mentioned about people opening their minds. So I met my husband 4 years ago. He was in the Penpal website. So when I read his story and I saw that he was serving a life sentence, I basically did what you said. I put myself in that situation. I imagined myself with a different parents, with a different environment, and I say, this could have been me. And I think he needs somebody. So I decided to be that somebody. I opened my heart and my mind to him, and 4 years later, here we are. And I feel that Taylor's not an exception. I know there's more people like him. And we should encourage people to do exactly that, to realize that they're human beings. They deserve second chance. They have the same right as us, and we should just treat them fairly. And if you want to treat them fairly, a life sentence or 4 years in prison is not something fair. That's not fair. That should be unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
Again, So just before we go, I just want to repeat our website is www.designconviction.com. And thank you so much.
Great. And we will see you we will hear from you next Saturday at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I am going to play a little bit of your husband's music before we leave the air. Thank you so much,
thank
Cecilia.
You.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
You have a blessed call from...
at the Washington Correctional Center. To accept the call, press 5.
Keep on walking down the line. Keep on walking down the line. Keep on walking.
On the streets, walking the pathway, crooked with deceit. Hearing the story, just don't end up like me. Serving the rest of your life in the goddamn penitentiary. The hammer's coming down, you still got a chance to turn things around. This could be the last dance. So once you cross that line, there's no turning back. This life's do or die, there won't be no slack. Make it a right before you get left. Destined for prison could even be the ultimate death. And with the blind leading the blind, there's just no loyalty. The ultimate sacrifice, because nothing's for free. Look at the sign, if the message is clear, where there's smoke, there's fire. Please listen and hear. When you walk the line and he whispers in your ear, stay on your toes, the devil's in here.
Keep on walking.